Now, when God tells us to do something, is that what we should do? Yes. We should be willing to listen because He's our governor. He's our King. He's our Lord. And He's the King of kings, and He knows everything. And when He tells you to do something, don't you think He should know what He's doing? When He tells you you're healed, don't you think you should believe Him? But many of the times we don't. We don't. Oh, yes, I believe Him, but I got to go have that surgery anyway. How many times have I heard that? Oh, my lands. Over and over and over and over. Okay, verses 15 and 16. And was there until the death of Herod. Now, see, this guy died. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Well, see, all this was in God's plan, because in one of the other prophecies he said, out of Egypt I called my son. Well, if Herod hadn't have done this, you know. Now, of course, one of the things that it's talked about in the scriptures when we'll see this. We'll go a little further. It says, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, he was exceedingly angry. And he sent forth and killed all the children that was in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Can you imagine a man being so ruthless that he would send a band of soldiers over to the, not only to the little town of Bethlehem, but to all up and down the coast, to go into every house and pull every little child that even looks like they're 2 years old or under and rip them out of mother's arms and cut their heads off or slay them, kill them? Can you imagine a man being that ruthless? I can't even go there. I can't even think like that. Can you? No. That tells you one thing about Herod. He was totally controlled by the devil. Because the devil is the only thing that has no love and no compassion in him. So it's obvious Herod was totally, completely controlled by the devil. And the devil didn't like it. Can you imagine all these little children we got in here today that's under 2 years of age? I mean, you know, some of them might be three, but, you know, I can't tell the difference, can you? Between a 2-year-old and a 3-year-old, a lot of times they look the same to me. Maybe even a 4 might be a little bit smaller than the next one. Have you seen children that were 2 bigger than a 3-year-old? Sure. Do you think these guards, they cared? No. They went over there, and if they even looked like a young child, they ripped them out of the mother's arms and killed them, stomped them, run them down with horses. What a brutal day. I can't even think like that. But that's what he did, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Verses 17 and 18. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah, the prophet, saying. Now, and this is a prophecy we didn't read. In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamenting and weeping, and a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are no more. How many mothers do you think lost their babies up and down that coast and in the city of Bethlehem? No telling. Many of them. Can you imagine that night or for the next few days, how many mothers, when they would see each other, would fall on each other's arms, when they'd walk up and see another mother and knowing you had a year and a half old yesterday or last week and I had one, and they were trying to comfort each other because both of them's babies are dead. The devil's a ruthless critter, isn't he? He's a ruthless critter, so don't ever think he's not. He doesn't play games. Don't you dare give the devil a quarter of an inch input into your life, because if you do, he'll take a foot. Don't even yield to sin, because if you do, it'll open the door to that devil. And then he'll come in and he'll do exactly what he did to all these women's babies. Kill them. It's just like I was preaching down in a little town in Central Texas here a few years ago. And this Baptist preacher invited me to speak in his Baptist church. And I talked about the devil and his demons. And of course, after church was over, he came out and he said, Thurman, I can't go there with you on the devil and those demons. He said, you know, the devil wouldn't. He said, I have a little, I think, 2-year-old. He said, you know, even the devil would have enough compassion. He couldn't kill that 2-year-old child. I said, that's where you've missed it. The devil has no compassion and no love. He's totally stealing, killing, and destroying. He has no compassion. I said, therefore, when God's rules are broken, he just goes and gets you. You know, it's kind of like a highway patrol out here on the highway. You know, he don't have the love of God in him either. He just, this is the way it is. So you're driving on a freeway out here, which is 65. You're driving 68. Man, he comes after you and he said, you know, my radar said you were driving 68. Well, yeah, I did have maybe 67 or 68. He said, you broke the law, 3 miles an hour. It's going to be 100. I'm going to give you a ticket, $100 fine. But sir, can't you be... He said, nope, that's the law. The law says 65. It does not say 68. Somebody said, well, you ought to have a little compassion. He said, no, I don't have no compassion. You broke the law. Here's your ticket. Now, can he do that to you?
Yeah.
Sure he can. Now, how could you keep a guy like that off of your back? Drive 65 or under, right? What if he stopped you and you were driving 66? You think, my goodness. He said, you were driving 66. Okay, it was a needle width past 65. I'll agree. Or you might say, I don't agree. I was right on 65. He said, I have a radar. It's perfect. And it's set up and adjusted regularly. It says you were driving 66. I'm writing you a ticket. Now, you're either going to have to prove that. You're going to have to go to court or you're going to pay that fine. You know that? But if you're driving exactly 65, and how many people do you know that only fudge 2 or 3 miles, maybe 5 miles an hour, thinking on the mercy of the police? And most policemen are merciful. Well, okay, he's only driving 5 miles over. I'll follow him. And you look back and you see him. Oh, that means get that cruise control down to 65. Then you're praying, oh God, please help me. He said, you should have been obeying my law all the time. You know, and you drive along there and you're sweating. He follows you for 2 miles and then he turns around and goes back. You say, okay. And as soon as he goes out of sight, what do? Right back up to 70. You didn't learn nothing. You didn't learn nothing. And so then when you do get stopped, who is it that screams the loudest? Us. But you were breaking the law, were you not? Sure, you don't have to do that. Okay, verse 19 and 20. But when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Obviously a different angel. Saying, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into the land of Israel, for they are dead which sought the young child's life. In other words, Herod's dead. You can go back. So he picks up the child and they start back. And he arose and he took the young child and his mother and he came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus did reign in Judea in the room of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. Notwithstanding, being warned of God in a dream, he turned aside into the parts of Galilee. Now again, all this was a plan. God, who's in control of everything? God. We need to get a hold of that. I really need to get a hold of God is in control of everything on this earth and nothing is done accidentally. Verse 23, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, he shall be called a Nazarene. Now these are more and more prophecies. Think about all the prophecies that come to pass for Jesus to come where he was. And people say, I don't believe in him. It's obvious they haven't read the book. I think about this lawyer. How many of you know this good lawyer called Josh McDowell? Any of you ever heard of Josh McDowell? Well, if you hadn't, you've missed a blessing. He's a great man of God. But he was a young man at home, and he had been raised up in a Christian home, but nothing in the power of God's Word. So when he got ready to go to college, you know, okay, now I'm out from under mom and dad's apron strings. I go to college and I'll do what I want to do. You know, I'm bigger and better things. Now, I don't have time for church. But he's going to, I forget, Harvard or Yale or wherever it was. He's going to school to be a lawyer. And he run into a group of young people up there that really knew Jesus. And they told him, you know, just come to our Bible study. Oh, no, no, I was raised up in a Christian home at home, but I'm beyond that stuff now. I don't need that no more. And, you know, he just don't need that. They said, well, Jesus never became real to you then. Yeah, he said, well, I know what you mean, but I don't need him. I mean, who knows whether he's real or not? Oh, they said, you're going to be a lawyer? We're going to be lawyers. Let's meet again in a year. We will provide our proof that he is real, and you provide your defense that he's not real. He said, hey, this will be good practice. Great practice. So he began to research. When he wasn't studying for law, he began to research certain books and get all the evidence he could find about everything. And at the end of that year, he came up with a book about this thick called Evidence That Demands a Verdict. Anybody ever read that book?
Yeah.
I have. Praise God. You have too, Benjamin. Let me tell you, at the end of that year, there was no doubt in Josh McDowell's mind that God was real, and that Jesus was real, and that Jesus was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And from that day forth, I have no idea how many colleges and universities that Josh McDowell has stood in and proclaimed the truth of God's Word to our young college students, unashamed that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's a great man of God. Great man of God. He's done great things for the kingdom. And, of course, over the years of study, he's written a second book called, again, That More Evidence That Demands a Verdict. And it's about that thick, too. So if there's anybody that's done the research to prove beyond a shadow of doubt that Jesus is real and the book is real, Josh McDowell, one of the finest lawyers in the country, has done that. Now then, let's go to chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. And said, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now we got this king, he's born, he's growing. Now then, all these years have come by, and now then, this little guy, in other words, Elizabeth, she was an old woman, way beyond the ability to have a baby. And her husband, he had prayed for a baby. And the angel appeared to him in the temple when he was in there and said, your prayers have been answered. You're going to have a baby.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.